The reading of God's Word is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 9 to 12, according as it has been appointed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Verse 9, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write to you. For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly to them that are without, that is outside the church, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Amen. God bless the reading of His own holy, inspired, infallible, preserved Word of life. So good that we can meet once again, and today, on this topic of brotherly love. What do we mean by brotherly love? It is an attitude of mind, a relationship we have one with another, and eventually we may call it a performance. So before we proceed very much further, if it is a performance, would you like to ask yourself, how have I performed? That's pertinent. It is searching. You know yourself. How has your performance level been in the area of brotherly love? Can you give yourself a mark? You think you're good enough for 7 over 10? Or better? Or worse? I leave it to you. But in your mind, fix some figure. And then at the end, let us search ourselves with the searchlight of God, that we may all understand what we are talking about brotherly love. When we talk of brotherly love, maybe we should go back to the very first brothers on earth. Who were the first brothers? Remember? At that time, the whole population of planet earth was two. Adam and Eve. Then came the first son. Name is Cain. Agree? Turn to Genesis chapter 4. So that we can learn something about the first brothers, how they loved. That's pertinent, isn't it? After all, if you talk of brotherly love, how did the first brothers love each other? Genesis 4. We go back in time, maybe 6,000 years, to a very primitive but a very perfect and beautiful earth. Unspoiled in many ways. And there our first parents were delighted when Eve brought forth the first son. You young mothers, when you brought forth your first son, how did you react? Wonderful! Whom does he look like? Ah, you are thrilled. Verse 1 says, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have got a man child from the Lord. How wonderful. Good for Chinese families. They all love a boy to start off with. But actually, it's not much difference, boy or girl. Now here he is. They are very happy because he's a boy. Then, verse 2, he bare again a brother called Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. We have very little detail given us about how they grew as children. But boys are boys. And I'm sure the house would be full of noise and activities and excitement as they grew up. So two boys, very soon they had grown to late teenage and then manhood. We can surmise, it doesn't tell us too much detail. Verse 3, in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the result of his fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. Again, we are not told too much. But reading between the lines, we understand this, in those days, God met with them from time to time. He says so. And God would have told them His way of salvation. Adam and Eve may have told the children. We tried our own way of fig leaves. But the Lord came with a skin and clothed us. That is the way to please the Lord. By the way of the blood of the Lamb. Did they know it? We have to conclude that they knew it. Now read on. Abel also brought the first flings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Praise the Lord. Abel was obedient. He received the message from the Lord. When you know the will of the Lord, say Amen. And do it. There is no way to please the Lord except just believing what He says and doing it. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And may you make this your prime priority every day in your life. What? I must please God. For that is the whole purpose of my life. How I live must be pleasing to God because He gave me life. He looks over me. He looks after me. He cares for me. And He's instructed me. Let me please Him. For without faith, impossible. Abel got this message. He knew it. He pleased God simply by bringing the firstlings of his flock, a lamb. Lord, here is what you require. Here it is. No more, no less. Do not invent your own ideas. Our own ideas of righteousness, trying to gain favor with God, are but filthy rags. Unacceptable, dear friends. No IQ, no matter how high, can gain credit with God. All you need to do is do what He says. And God said to them, this is the way of the blood of the Lamb. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, the Lord had not respect. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And here comes a conversation, as I said, in those days, there was a meeting place. Somehow God met with them, and God enlightened them, but there was one who obeyed, one who chose not to obey. We talk of brotherly love. How do you experience or execute brotherly love? How do you do it? First of all, you got to love God. If you are disobedient to God, it cannot be that you will be a loving brother to your brother. Verse 6. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your countenance fallen? You look so glum today, so angry with everything. Life is not so good to you. Verse 7. If you had done well, shalt thou not be accepted? Of course. If he had just done what your brother had done, I would be very pleased with you. You don't need to do very much. What do you need to do? Obey. Faith is believing God and obeying. In that you please God, and that equips you to begin to have brotherly love. If you have offended God, and God is not pleased with you, your whole life will be upside down. How can you then begin to love a brother or a stranger? Which we will finally, after today's discourse, realize that brotherly love is not to the brother of your home, or more to the brother in your church, but to the brother who is outside. To the stranger, to the Samaritan, how he treated the one who was beaten half dead. To that extent is brotherly love. How God loved us, we are to show to others who need it. That is brotherly love. So back to the first family. You say, well, how do I know how to love a brother? I don't have a brother. Don't make excuses. Yes. If you do not love the father who gave birth to you and the mother, and you ignore them, I can guarantee you, you cannot love a brother even if you had one brother. So let's begin with first things first. Here is Cain who rebelled against father, mother, against God, against brother, to the extent that he was full of rage and anger and hatred. Verse 8. Here comes the crunch. How can you love a brother if all the time in the heart you are full of hatred? Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Amazing. Where did he learn to kill from? He didn't watch the violence of television. He had no gang to join and say, well, I learned from my gang. Two brothers, only two. Where did the killing come from? As by one man. Sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned, only the sin of Adam now comes down to Cain, comes down to us, so that we do not love parents the way we ought to love. This is a problem in so many homes today. Don't blame the culture. Of course, it has got a big share of the blame. The teaching in school does not foster this kind of filial piety. The old Chinese tradition has been thrown overboard. Now everything is equality, democracy, and we just, the more knowledge, the more powerful, the less we have to respect parents for. So it is. Inevitable. When children know more than parents, where is the respect unless they are taught by God? Unless there is that instruction from the Word of God, honor thy father and thy mother before you can love your brother. True. Absolutely. Don't talk of brotherly love. It must begin with your parents. The one who gave you everything from day one. The loving kindness of mother who breastfed you, who saw to your every need, You know, the most dependent of all the mammals is man. How long are you dependent? As a baby, in arms, when were you independent? Today it is 18, 19, 20, 20 plus. Before you were independent. And all these days you are dependent. But how much of a gratitude is there? So, we talk of brotherly love. Dear friends, first things first, brotherly love does not come because you got a brother you love, then you have brotherly love. Brotherly love comes when you begin to appreciate father and mother and appreciate God. I have a God who is so wonderful, who thought of me in my sinful estate, sent His only begotten Son, that is gospel. That Jesus went to the cross, came as a man, and lived as a man, and He set us the example of brotherly love. So we have enough of Cain, haven't we? What can we learn from Cain? Don't be a Cain. Always go back to the first principles. Cain forgot it all. He thought he was great. I can do what I want to do because I'm great. The sooner we realize we are not great, we are but nothing, then we begin to learn brotherly love. So, my dear friends, if you'd like to take another one or two examples of brotherly love, I'll give you very quickly. Abraham, first son, name? Ishmael, right? This is son of the flesh. Then came son of promise, Isaac. And big son, Ishmael, began to mock at the winning ceremony and dinner. And there was big conflict. Come to the next generation, Isaac's children. Esau, Jacob. And there the feud begins in the abdomen. In the womb, there was a big battle, wrestling going on. And they came out, and there the fight went on. How long? Ishmael versus Isaac, Jacob versus Esau. How long? 4,000 years till today. Where? Palestine. Where is the brotherly love? When will they realize they are brothers? Yes. Actual blood brothers, you know, not bluff, brothers. Does the blood relationship help at all? Answer is very little. Very little. How often you ask, hey, have you called your own brother or your own sister? Have you seen her? No. When is the next time you're going to meet her? Too bad. So often it is at the funeral that we meet each other. Meantime, you don't think there is a need to contact a brother or a sister. Why? Because the blood bond is not that effective. Why? Busy, busy, busy. I was at a family visitation last week. Old lady. 5 children. How often do your children come and see you? Oh, seldom, maybe once a year. I say, if I were one of your children, I'd see you every Sunday. Minimum. Why? Because you are the mother. So don't talk of brotherly love. If there is no love for mother, why? She's old. We are busy. Of course, who is not busy? Who's not getting old? But there isn't that kind of remembrance, gratitude, thankfulness, to say I was once helpless. In her arms, she looked after me all my life. Now I am Busy, mother forgotten. So while we talk of brotherly love, remember, brotherly love doesn't start with a brother or a sister. It starts in your heart to God, number one. Be grateful. Every day thank God for salvation, that God loved me. Don't think of other people. Send His only begotten Son for me, that I might learn from Him, not just His death on the cross, but do you learn from Jesus many other things? We ought to. Study His life, how busy He was from early crack of dawn till dead in the night. How He rises up long before dawn to pray for you and me. And through the day, what did Jesus do? Take a page from the life of Jesus and learn from Him. If you want to talk about brotherly love, learn from the Lord Jesus. Can we? Of course. We don't have to turn to the gospel, but we all know it. Our Lord Jesus never refused any call to anyone. No matter how poor, how outcast, lepers came to Him. The blind and the halt and the maimed all came to Him. Did He refuse anyone? That is love. That is brotherly love. So, think how Jesus sympathized. Everyone who came, do we? If you talk of brotherly love, begin to love someone who is not lovable. Begin to do something that is not fashionable. I say to young people, you live in a home and everything's mechanized. So simple, isn't it? But who is the ama of the house? Mother, of course. Mother can do everything. Mother and father, they do everything. And so many children are treated like princes, untouchables. I hope it doesn't apply to too many here. So I say to young people, if you want to talk of brotherly love, begin here. Mother, from today I clean all the toilets. I do all the sweeping and the vacuuming. From now on, you take a rest. Let me do it. Don't wait till either mother is gone or father is gone. You say, how I wish I can do something for mother or father. Truly, we are down to basics this morning. Brotherly love starts with filial love, filial piety, godly piety, thinking of God every day. If you love the Lord, you will begin to love your neighbors. You begin to love your brothers. You begin to love your sister, because it starts from above. Because you love God, God will begin to put into your heart that loving kindness to others. That is brotherly love. So I say, don't depend too much on blood ties. Now the way the Lord Jesus treated the 12 disciples is an object lesson for all of us. 12, right? Take yourself to be one of the 12. 3.5 years from the time He says, follow me. At the Sea of Galilee, and you saw Him with the miracle of fishes, like Peter, James, and John saw it. And they said, well, if we want to follow anyone, that's Jesus is the man to follow. After all, we toiled on the whole night, caught nothing. At His word, we catch until the nets broke. We will follow Jesus. Now we follow Him. What do we find in Jesus? Oh, my friends, Jesus is a wonderful Savior. For 12 disciples, how did He treat them? Can you recall? Did you find Jesus scolding them? Or sidelining them? Or ignoring them? Never. What a wonderful Lord He is. And we follow Him. What's the use of following if you don't learn from Him how He was compassionate? Are we? We talk of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love, love, love. Charity, charity. But to talk is easy, to do is not. Think of Jesus. How He was patient. Are we patient? How He was lenient on the disciples. Never once was He impatient and scolded them, lose His temper, which we all are prone to. That is brotherly love. Jesus led them, taught them, until the Last Supper, and He knew them through and through. Who were the ones going to deny Him and desert Him? How many? How many of the 12? Except for Judas, the traitor. All the 11 others. At the time of crisis, all of them denied Him. All of them deserted Him. All of them cared for own skin and ran away from Him. How did Jesus react? Therein is brotherly love. Jesus did not take it on them. Afterwards, Peter, who denied 3 times, how did Jesus treat Peter? That is the lesson for all of us. Brotherly love is there. Peter, son of Jonas, you love me. Yeah. Those words are powerful words. So he asks you, do you love me really? How do you love me? How do you prove you love me? Feed my sheep. Care for the members in the church. Care for them for me. I'm not there to care for them. Peter, you do it. Ah, now you begin to exercise brotherly love. Sheep are not the best clients for you to care for, you know. Not the best. Difficult. Stubborn. Wayward. You say, walk here, they walk there. That's the kind of nature of sheep. And Jesus says, Peter, you love me? Show brotherly love? Show to your brothers. To the sheep. That is the time we begin to exercise brotherly love to those who really do not deserve it. We have a big church and it is not easy, especially for the 2 shepherds, to know all the names and the difficulties and problems. But we try. But I say the burden is to be borne by all of us. We in the family of God, we are all brothers, one to another. And we ought to learn the blessing of having others because we are under the same blood, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, brought into the same family, sons of God, children of God. Therein is the brotherly love. Why? I can relate to you because you are a child of God. I am a child of God. We have a common Lord Jesus, the Heavenly Father. And therein is that relationship. We therefore go out one to another without caring or counting the cost. Say, wow, 1 hour cost me so much, you know. And I got to go and do visitation. Therein is the expression of brotherly love. Because Jesus loves you. Because Jesus loves me. We are on a common platform. We can love one another without counting the cost. Did you ever think of visiting someone? Begin. Make a start somewhere. Did you ever think of remembering someone who is sick? Someone in his birthday? Pastor Quek and myself signed a lot of birthday cards.
Most layovers must confess almost impersonal because we have hundreds of cards to sign at the same time. So we just quickly sign. But when we can remember, we write a few more words, trying to express in a feeble way some sort of brotherly love. I hope it doesn't become mechanical, then we might as well employ a computer and say, chop, 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 send. Yeah. It may become that way, but please understand we try our best. But how about the big family? Please, there are so many groups for you to join. Contact groups. Look them up. Don't after 5-10 years say, that church is so cold. Impersonal. I've been there for all these years. Nobody knows me. If that is so, I say, think again. We have many invitations for you to join. And these are opportunities for you to have subgroups, that you can know each other within the group of 10 or 12. But when I look down 1,000, then I go, yeah, groggy, you know. So, dear friends, what are we talking about? Brotherly love. Here is the test. Do you really love God, who has loved you so? Are you willing to sacrifice a little? I say again, start at home. From today, I will do something that you never thought I wanted to do. The meanest, the lowliest, let me do it. Let me do it. And then things will improve. But if everybody sits there, feet up, I'm the boss, you do. Nothing will happen. Brotherly love will die a natural death before you even begin. It's already dead. So, my dear friends, what more is there to say? Our Lord Jesus, the night after the Last Supper, He says, I give you a new commandment. I'm going. You're going to miss me, sure. But I give you something good. A new commandment. You love one another. When I'm not here, you love one another. By this one thing shall all men know Calvary Pandan is different, because you love one another. Inside the church, there is love one for another. John 13:35. Last commandment, a wonderful commandment. Try it, read it, and I will close with reading for you our text for today, 1 John chapter 4. John, the apostle of love, is the one most fitted to write about brotherly love. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, we have read it twice, now read it again. Beloved, let us love one another. So it is. Please, pray that God will motivate you to move you to really do something about it. Don't just let it be a theory, a recitation lesson, and then stop at there. No, let the Holy Spirit begin to work in your heart. Beloved, let us love one another. Consider one another. Try and make a new friend every once in a week. It's too difficult? No. No, you don't have to go across the seas to make a new friend. Just here next to you. Hello, how are you? Who are you? I'm so and so. Make a new friend. And begin to know one another's problems. Read on, please. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Are you born of God? Are you born again? Are you a child of God? You say, yes. I say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is wonderful. Now love one another, because it is the natural outcome of your love of God. You are a child of God. Verse 8. He that loveth not, knows not God. How can it be? If you say you know God, you must love one another. For God is love.
For God loved us and expressed that love by sending Jesus. Now you express your love by sending yourself. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. He paid the price to take away our sins, cancel our debt, remove the guilt and the power of sin, to enable us to do the right things for Him. Are you doing? Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If Jesus went to Gethsemane, agonized there, sweating with bloody tears, bloody sweats, and there He agonized for you and for me, and He went to the cross, all that you cannot replicate. But what we can do is to love one another. Verse 19, in conclusion, we love Him because He first loved us. There is a priority. We did not invent love. We did not pioneer love. But we received it. Now the giver of that love says, go, share it, show it. Let us do, let us pray. As I open, I said, you give yourself a grade. Did you give yourself 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Now grade yourself and try it. May the Holy Spirit give us a good insight into our own spiritual state. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the words of truth and everlasting life. Teach us what it means to exercise brotherly love, to love the unlovely, to go out to those who do not deserve it, to help the helpless, to do something because the love of God impels us. O Lord, may we not be negligent or ungrateful to parents, to the Heavenly Father. O Lord our God, renew a new spirit in us, that we will love Thee, love our parents, love brothers and sisters, love each other in this church. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.